Welcome to the Love Raising Us podcast. My name is Erin Flood, and I'm so happy that you're with us. The Love Raising Us podcast is a podcast created for women with a desire to grow individually, learn within a supportive community, and positively impact the world around them. Yes, we're going to do all this great work while we finish the messy job of raising us. Welcome to the Love Raising Us podcast. My name is Erin Flood, and I'm so happy to be with you today. First things first, this podcast is going to be out throughout the months, the rest of May, June, July, and August. We're going to an every 2 week schedule with releases. And the truth is, I just want to invest a ton of time and energy into what's going on with our family. And in order for me to do that, that means I have less time to do things like this podcast. But last summer, I let it go completely. I did not podcast all summer. And so this summer, I'm hoping to find a happy medium. So that means every 2 weeks, the podcast will come out. And I hope that even though it's not every week, you keep listening and following along for the stories of people's lives. And hopefully you can be inspired by some of the guests that we have coming up. I have probably my two biggest guests that I've ever had on the show coming up this summer, and I cannot wait to tell you more about them and to go through the interviews. So every 2 weeks, the podcast will be coming out. Then I had just three things I wanted to share with you today. It's just going to be a short podcast just with me. So the first thing is the end of the school year. Now, most of you know that I'm a former high school English teacher and a former K-8 principal, well, K-12 principal, really. And I just think so much at the end of the school year, how I always used to tell my staff, it's like we've been on a roller coaster throughout the year and we've gone up and we've gone down. And the last month of school, it's really Easter kind of till the end, but it's like all of a sudden you tip over the highest peak at the roller coaster and you're screaming a million miles an hour toward the bottom. And I would tell them, this is the point of the year where we just have to put our hands up and hope that the moments that we're screaming and giggling with laughter and glee at the speed and the intensity of the ride are greater than the times when we're screaming to make the ride stop and let us get off. And I feel like at the end, the real goal is to hope that you prepared enough through the ups and downs of the years to look at the people when you get down at the bottom of the roller coaster, grab hands with them and say, I'm so glad you were with me on this ride, and talk about the things that you're proud of. And I feel like that same thing applies for parents as your kids are coming toward the end of the school year. You know, you've been on the roller coaster, you've ridden the bumps out with them, the highs and the lows. And this last month, some of what makes it so challenging is that all of the things that you were sick of throughout the year that you tried to be tolerant of, well, we're not particularly tolerant of those things anymore, right? Whether it's things that we're not tolerant of on, you know, on the school's part or the staff's part or our child's part or kids during the, you know, in your child's class that there's been conflict with, or, you know, we're just not particularly tolerant anymore. And the other thing that the reason why I feel like, you know, we get this free-falling feeling toward the end is because it's May and everything just happens at one time. And I've wondered if it's just like a Midwestern thing or because of the weather when we can finally be doing like outdoor sports again. And so all of these sports schedules start up and, honestly, some of it is just too, like, in just interacting with people so much more because we're outside and we're on the sidelines of activities together. And there's more, you know, confirmations and first communions and graduations. And I don't know, we have two May birthdays in this house and everything is at the same time. It is the concerts and the final projects and the exams and it's so overwhelming. And then we get tired and sometimes, again, less tolerant. So I guess the mother and the principal in me want to remind you that even in this busy, busy, busy season of life, where it feels like you can't catch your breath, I hope you are finding more moments to stop and find things that make you have that giggle with glee feeling than things that make you want to hold on and beg to get off the ride. Because the other thing I know about this season is that it is so short. It's so short. And as exhausting as it is, and I'm not going to lie, I had a moment about a week ago where I was just done. I just felt so done. Just exhausted from the pace of life. But I really took a moment and continue to do that for myself, I hope, and want to remind you all too, to not worry, get stuck in being perfect in this season, but just being present enough to enjoy the joyful moments that are absolutely there. They're there. And if we're willing, then we can see them. And so I'd also encourage you as you get to the end to look at the people that you survived the year with, your kids, and find reasons to grab hands and say, I'm so glad we did this together. And here's what we can celebrate individually. And here's what I want to celebrate as a family. Because we're not always great at celebrating small things, and not always great at celebrating what we did well as a family. Like for us, we had to rally and say in this last month of school, we're going to really try hard not to be late for school. Please don't judge me. It's just, it is what it is. And we're doing it. We're doing it. And it took different effort and different patience and tolerance from each member of our family. And so I can't wait to celebrate that, you know, in these last couple of weeks. So when we get done and we say, look, we communicated, we came up with a plan and we followed through on it every day. We weren't perfect, but we were close and we made a really good effort and we should celebrate that. So celebrate the victories of your school year. Okay. The next thing I wanted to talk about was getting swallowed by the summer. So as I mentioned, last summer, I did no podcasts. I did not take a lot of meetings. I pretty much stopped blogging and posting. And because my kids, I am their primary person during the summer because I'm home with them and my husband's working. And so I tend to get so excited about it. And then I want to invest all that I am and all that I have into them and what we're doing and the busyness of our schedules and wanting to make sure that, you know, if we do have moments where it's just us and we're not at camp or we're not doing something like that, that we're fishing or I'm swimming with them or that we are doing things together. Because honestly, that's what I miss during the school year is it's not that we're not in the same house. It's just that we're not always together doing things. And I miss that. And I feel like summer is the time when we make so many memories, especially the three of us, our kids and myself, because I have the privilege of being with them. But I also want to say that by the end of last summer, I was 100% swallowed by the summer. Although I kept exercising. I found a way to get that in because that's like my, as much as it's physical for me, it is 100% mental. Like movement is my medicine. You know that. You've heard me say it. Mentally though, I allowed myself to get become swallowed by the summer. And then what happens is when they go back to the school year, then I almost have anxiety and have to get to know myself again because I have completely given up all of the things that I do that I'm passionate about to invest every single waking moment and ounce of energy I have into them. And while I think that that is my job as their mother, that's the way I view my role. I also don't think that I am my best mothering self when I have not invested in the things that make me excited, that renew my energy, and that allow me to use the talents that God gave me, just like I would encourage them to nourish and use the talents that God gave them. So I guess that's just a little note to say that as we head into summer, it's easy to get caught up in doing all of the things for all of the people. And I just want to say that, A, do not rob others of doing the things for themselves or for you that will help them to develop a sense of confidence and self-esteem in what they're able to contribute to a family, to themselves, to other people they love. And don't rob yourself of the development that could take place for you in these beautiful, abundant summer months. It does not have to be all or nothing. Motherhood can be both and. And so I just want to say that. So I'm going to hold myself accountable by doing this podcast every 2 weeks and continuing, making sure I'm continuing to podcast. I'm going to hold myself accountable by continuing to blog and, or even a mini blog and post. I've decided at least 3 times a week, and I'm going to stick to that. So hold me accountable if you don't see it happening. And I'm going to make sure that I do my practice at the beginning of the day and the practice at the end of the day really ground me in remembering these things, which is movement. I usually exercise, something like lift or run in the morning. And then if I'm able to, even if it's for 5 minutes, I usually walk outside and try to just catch a glimpse of the sunset at the end of the day, because that's how I start and finish. That's how I create that movement for me, creates momentum for my day or for the next day. And then the other way I'm going to hold myself accountable is by when I feel like the busyness is getting to be too much, instead of just saying, well, just keep going, or you only have 2 more weeks of the schedule and then you can rest. I'm just going to find pockets to rest. Maybe that's snooze for 10 minutes. And that's what I say to myself in the morning, snooze once, that's your treat. And I think about it that way, because I really think it's all about how we think about things. Maybe it's, and this is something that's, I don't know, some of you may relate to, but the way I'm going to hold myself accountable is to make sure that I block time for my husband and I to like go out on dates more frequently. And to get a babysitter, because I feel guilty a lot of times getting a babysitter during the school year because we're not together very much. But when it's the summer and the kids and I are together more or have more opportunity to be with my husband too, then I think that he and I need to prioritize that time that we have together to make sure that the summer does not swallow us as a married couple as well. Because truthfully, I think we often let the school year swallow us. So yes, that's my note about upcoming summer. Okay, so the third thing I want to talk about is something that I posted about this week. As a lot of you know, I'm just finishing with coaching our son's middle school track team. And you may not know, I am not a track star. I never ran track. I run and lift and I'm super active now, but I danced growing up and I'm 40. So if any of you are around my age, we did not have a track team in middle school. It did not exist in the little school that I went to. And then when I got to high school, like the people that danced or like did more of the arts portion of athletics or sports or whatever you want to call it, physical activity, most of us, like, we weren't in the weight room, we weren't sprinting, and there wasn't any real crossover to other athletics. And most of it, to be honest with you, was because dance was year round. I was on the dance team at school, but I danced with a company year round competitively and trained with them. So there wasn't a lot of time to do other things. So anyway, I've been coaching middle school track and learning a ton. And one of the things that I have been thinking a lot about and that I posted about this week was not believing your own bullshit. And here's what I mean when I say that. So I watch these middle school kids, and my son's in sixth grade. So that's the first year you could participate in track. And because I have a sixth grade son, I was kind of in charge of the sixth grade boys that were on this combined middle school team. So most of them have never run competitively. In fact, I think almost all of them had never run competitively. And although they kind of knew how they stacked up against other kids from playing sports, this was totally like just a new experience for them. And so it was really interesting to watch how kids figured out how they were going to think about their success in the season and what success looked like. And myself and the other coaches, we talked a lot about it being a team sport, but it's really about the competition comes from you just beating yourself. So we highlighted personal records, right? Can you PR in this event? What would that look like for you? And what would you have to do in training in order to get that PR? You know, because we know as adults, even if you're fast, there's always somebody that's going to be faster, right? But then you're probably also faster than someone else. And in the grand scheme of life, it probably doesn't really matter. Well, what matters is how you learn to think about yourself and your challenges and how you're able to rise to the occasion of meeting those challenges. So anyway, so these sixth grade boys, I'm working with them a lot, and they're kids that picked the shortest distance, the 100 meter dash, because they don't love to run. You know, and the longer you go, a lot of time, you know, the harder it is, and you have to build stamina. And so they're like, yeah, I'm just going to run the 100. Everybody wants to run the 100. Okay, fine. So as we started running the 100, I was thinking, in watching some of the kids, like, you could see that they knew that they probably weren't going to win the race when they were competing with their peers. But then we got into a meet and they realized that, well, I'm running next to people at these meets and I think I can beat them. Like, I think I can go faster. So they started to push a little harder. And then in practice, you could see it. Well, I'm almost beat him, or I just shaved 2 seconds off a time that I could run 100 meters. Like, I took 2 seconds off my time, which in track, taking seconds off is like, I mean, it's huge. And the reason why I brought this up is because some of these kids had never pushed themselves beyond what they thought they were capable of until this season, because they figured out that the real game for them wasn't being the fastest or the best or the person that scored the most points, but it was beating themselves the next time around. It was besting their best effort, besting their best performance. And so what they believed to be true about themselves, that whatever speed they were, that that's all they had to give, they realized it wasn't true. And as soon as they realized that that wasn't true, and they were willing to be uncomfortable for, you guys, we're talking like 15 seconds or less. When they were willing to push for 15 or 18 seconds, then they realized that they were actually more than they thought they were capable of being. They stopped believing the lies that they were telling themselves, that they would never be faster, they would never be stronger, they would never be whatever, fill in the blank. And I thought, this is such an amazing metaphor for really what we go through in life. How often do you sit back because you've just told yourself that this is the level I am. Well, that's just who I am. This is where I belong. This is where I stay because this is the level of what I'm capable of. Like most of, there's so many things like that in our life that we lie to ourselves about, that we settle for less than our best because we've convinced ourselves that that's all we're capable of, because we haven't been willing to be uncomfortable for 20 seconds in order to push past that barrier that we've put up and figure out what we're really capable of. We'll do it in some areas, but other areas we're totally happy with a lie. We're happy with believing our own BS. Don't do it. Don't settle. You know, and it made me think about too, when I walked away from the classroom and the school as professionally, I told myself a lot of lies. I told myself, well, you'll probably never be back into school again. Maybe you weren't what you thought you were with kids. Maybe you aren't meant to, you know, maybe this isn't as fulfilling for you as you thought it was. Because I was just having a hard time, even though I knew like deep down in my gut, it was absolutely time to walk away from that role. I was so burnt out. I mean, just to a crisp. And it was absolutely time to come home and just serve my family in a different way. It was the right thing for our family. I knew it was right in my gut. But because I couldn't imagine what I would look like in that next version, I just made up a whole bunch of lies about myself and told them to myself so that I would be okay walking away and just stay small for a little while and not really expect a ton from myself. Because guess what? That's easier. It's painful, but it's easier than allowing yourself to dream about what you could become or to be brave enough to say, I guess I really don't know. I guess I really don't know if I'll come back to kids. But I know right now, walking away from these kids and walking to my own kids is the right thing for me. You know, the unknown is hard for me. So instead of dealing with the unknown, I would rather make up a bunch of hurtful bullshit lies that are not true about myself and believe those, because that's safer. Then I've written the ending. It's safer. And so I just want to leave you with this end today. Don't stay small. Don't believe your own lies. Stop making up bullshit to just make it easier for yourself to stay in the exact spot that you are, to not change your relationship habits, to not change your eating habits, to not exercise like you know you should, to not make hard phone calls, to not walk away from a person you know that you're enabling and it's codependent. To not take a chance to create something or say something out loud, or the reasons why you're not doing those things 99.9% of the time are not true. They're total BS and it's not you. So stop telling yourself those limiting foundational beliefs that don't serve you. If you continue to be nudged towards something that is meant for you, and you can run as fast as you want away from that, but God always runs faster, and that will still be waiting for you on the other side. So stop running from it. I absolutely found like this little light inside of me again when I was coaching, because my gosh, I just love to be around kids so much. My own, it's just sweeter because my own is there this time. And that's what's so funny. Here, when I walked away from when I was working full time, just crazy hours as a principal, I hated it because I was literally missing all of my own kids' lives, I felt like, and investing so much in other people's kids. And then when I walked away from my job to be a stay-at-home mom, I felt like I was investing so much in my kids, but I really missed investing in other people's kids. And now, just for this little moment in this short season, I got to not only invest in my own child, but other kids too. And it was like the most unexpected sweet spot And it happened to be, you know, involving fitness, which I love and I'm super passionate about too. So that was so fun. But I feel like I ended up back there because that's a spot I'm meant to be in. And the lies I told myself about not going back or maybe not being fit for it are not true. And they certainly don't serve me. So I'm just going to stop saying them and be brave enough to be open to maybe someday I'll find a way to do it again without giving up all I am personally or without giving up all I am professionally and finding spot to exist in the both and. So whatever that area is in your life that you have been holding yourself back or you made up some boundary about who you are and what you're meant to achieve and what would happen if you just stopped telling yourself that lie and instead you encouraged yourself to see what it would look like if you just pushed for 30 seconds of being uncomfortable to see what you could actually become. So that's it. That's all for this episode of the Love Raising Us podcast. Please follow me on Instagram at Love Raising Us. Again, a reminder that every 2 weeks, these podcasts will be coming out now every 2 weeks instead of weekly, at least until fall. So that I can do the both and of life, the personal and the professional. And I would be so grateful if you would go into whatever app you're listening in, Spotify, iTunes, whatever it is, give the show a 5-star review and leave some comments about why you love the podcast. Invite your friends to listen. I'm grateful for the community and the connection. And if you have any guests that you think I need to interview this summer, please DM me at Love Raising Us on Instagram. And I will see you back here in 2 weeks.